Humility is absolutely key from receiving from God. He said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore. He tells us to humble ourselves. Humble our... Father, we just worship and praise you, Jesus. We worship and praise you, Jesus. He said these words in my spirit. He said, if anyone does not receive my kingdom like a little child, he will never enter it. He said, the day is coming very soon where I will humble all human pride. For people must recognize and take their prospective roles for which I've created them for, says the Lord. For there is no one higher than me. I am the highest. I am the great I am. I am he who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. I give life and breath to every creature. I cause your hearts to beat. How can it be how the creation that I've molded from the dust of the earth believe that they are gods? Yet they say, what does he mean that we're gods? Yet you live for yourselves, make your own decisions. Who is your Lord? If I am your Lord, then you bow your knee to me, and every decision that is made comes through my lips, says the Lord. But if you are your Lord, then you go about your business and do your own thing, just like the enemy. For I created him as the anointed cherub, Lucifer, the one who brought worship and inspired worship in all of my creation and all of the universe. Yet he exalted himself through pride, and through pride fell. In the same way, this wicked, adulterous generation has brought themselves to beat with their hearts to the same beat as Satan. I never prophesied like this before in my life. I just want you to ask yourself who you're living for. You know, I come up here 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row trying to teach on all these different subjects, and all that comes out of me is these people need to get ready because they're full of pride. That's what he says to me. He says, they're not ready. Jesus was the Son of God, and he humbled himself to the point of dying on a cross, which means he became the curse. He got on his knees. He bowed down and washed the feet of the creation that he created. The very one who betrayed him, he got down on his knees and washed his feet. This generation really thinks there's something. Let me tell you what God thinks of it. He does not like it. He's very displeased. Even with most people that sit in the churches, they're full of pride. They're not going to make it. Not unless they get their hearts right. And unfortunately, most likely judgments will come down on this earth that are going to cause people to finally humble themselves and realize that they're nothing. They're nothing in comparison to the one who's in control. This should not be. And this is exactly, this generation is so full of pride. They think there's really something. They're just like they were before he destroyed them at the flood. They forgot about God, and even those who claimed his name as a whole in their hearts, they forgot about him. They honor God at their lips, but their hearts, they do not beat with God. We need to get our hearts right and be prepared for the coming of the Lord. This is not a joke. This is not a suggestion. This is his commands. It was not the ten suggestions, it was the Ten Commandments. The New Testament has 1,050 commands in it. They're not suggestions. When Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, seek the Lord with all your heart. When he said these things, these were not suggestions. He was the Lord. That means he was the master. He's the commander. We want to be ready, and it needs to be in the heart. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to have Jesus on our lips. He needs your whole heart. He's looking for people who are holy. He says, saints who keep God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus, Revelation 14:12. Revelation 12:17, he says, saints who hold to the testimony of Jesus, hold to it, hold to the spirit of prophecy, hold to his word. Obey God's commands. He said not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. He said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving, that's partaking of a lie, deception. That's believing that it's okay to continually hear it, but never take the step to humble yourself enough to act upon it. It's worthless in the eyes of God. It's absolutely meaningless. It's worse than meaningless. He called them hypocrites, actors. He told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, he said, the people come and hear your words as they always do. And he said this, he said, to them you're nothing more than someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. A lot of people love to hear the word. It feels good. It touches the heart. It comforts them. They like to come and assemble together and feel the presence of God. But the real person is not the one sitting in the chair at church. The real person is the one at home. The real person is the one when the lights are out, when doors are closed. That's the person God sees. He sees past the facade that people can put on in church. And he sees the heart, and he's going to judge each of us according to our deeds. He does not want to judge us outside of Christ, but Christians are holy. He said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He said, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? We're not sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. We're dead to sin. How can you live in it any longer? 1 Peter 2:24, Romans 6:1. He says it over and over. He says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're free. We're no longer slaves of sin because he who has died has been freed from sin, he says. He says, you died with Christ. How can you live in sin any longer? You died with him. You died with him on that cross. That old sinful nature, that wicked, sinful, spiritually dead nature of the devil that you had in you when you were running around in the world, that was crucified with Christ. It's been done away with. If you're born again, you have his nature, divine nature, and anything of God is absolutely pure. It's absolute light. It's absolute holiness. There's no darkness in him at all. Which means that you do have the ability to obey God, but the reason that Christians, claiming Christians, we're going to call them, disobey God is because they're dominated by their flesh. Their spirit, that little flicker of a candle, is suppressed somewhere underneath a big ball of flesh. I can tell you why, because there's an abundant supply of sin and there's no restraint on the flesh. In other words, they don't do what's necessary to suppress the flesh. What's necessary, Pastor? Fasting? Fasting. Prayer is not going to do it if you're under a big bundle of flesh. You got to put the flesh under. Well, Pastor Dan, I'm not going to stop eating. But I struggle with sin. I'm not willing to do that. Well, he says this, Romans 8:13. He said, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. He promised you that you'll die, and he doesn't want that for you. He said this, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. It's in your Bible. We got to read between the lines. No, the Bible means exactly what it says. There's no interpretation of the Bible. It's the biggest lie of the devil. It means exactly what it says. When he says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish, he meant it. When he said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. He meant it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. But it also requires you to turn from sin. Jesus said in Luke 24, at the end of the Bible, at the end of the book of Luke, he said this. He said, repentance and forgiveness would be preached in his name. A lot of your local churches are preaching forgiveness in the name of Jesus, but they don't explain to you that you have to turn from sin. When this message originally came out from the apostles and the 120 people that were in the upper room, they went out and preached to the Jews for a period of something like 12 to 14 years before they ever talked to a Gentile. Even though Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And it was not hard to tell a Jew to turn from their sin. They already feared God and understood they had to turn from sin. But you are Gentiles. Before you were born again, you had no religion. Or a false religion, possibly, but you didn't have anything connected to God, Jehovah, the true God, the living God, the Creator. You didn't have His laws. You didn't have His Ten Commandments to direct you. And the end result is, what a lot of Gentile believers do is after they get born again, as they never genuinely turn from their sin, they try to add Jesus to their sinful lifestyle. And the end result is if they never turn from it, at the end of their life, they wake up in hell because they've been deceived. He said, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And Jesus said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38, Luke 14:27, he says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Mark 8:36. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23 and 24. He said this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He said, this is a message we heard from Him, Jesus, and proclaim to you, God is light. In Him there's no justice, in Him there's no darkness at all. He said, if we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. That means you need to walk in the light and have fellowship. He said, there's no fellowship with Him in darkness. He said, woe to them. Woe to them who call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He says, woe to them. He said, the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, it says. 1 John 2:4. He says, whoever claims to live in a must walk as Jesus did. Free from sin is what he's... deliberate sin. He's not talking about occasional mistakes. Most people try to even deceive themselves and say that was just a mistake. How do you... First John 3:6 says that no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. 1 John 3:7 says, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. You're still spiritually dead. Because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, that's that sinful nature. If you're born again, that nature is gone. You no longer have to live in a lifestyle of sin. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Can't. You can't live in a deliberate lifestyle of sin. If you're doing that, then you're probably not even saved. You're a very religious person that sits in church every week. I just don't believe that way. It doesn't matter what we believe. It only matters what God said. And God cannot violate His word. He's bound. His word is law. says it over and over in the Bible. He's bound by his word. He cannot show you favoritism just because of how you feel or what your opinion is about his word. He cannot show anyone favoritism. We have to fully obey God. And if you struggle with sin, we can pray for you, but he's given us keys. He's given us keys in his great mercy called fasting, praying in tongues, meditating his word, worshiping him. In other words, spending time alone with God, seeking him for strength to live the holy life he requires to be saved. He's given us keys. So there'll be no excuse if people say, I just couldn't stop sinning. He'd say, Pastor Dan told you by the Holy Spirit that you should start fasting and praying. You should put to death the misdeeds of the body. He told you what to do, but you didn't do it. I can't show you favoritism. I'm sorry. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to hear that. We want to instead surrender our whole hearts to Jesus, give our whole lives to him, every fiber of our being. If you feel like you're called to ministry, then go to Bible college. Don't wait another day. Do what he's called you to do and quit making up excuses. They're all worthless in the eyes of God because he sees your heart. He knows what every human being he's created is capable of shaking up the whole world for Jesus. They're capable of it. But many refuse. He said this, we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world's under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. He said, we know that anyone who's born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God, Jesus, keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. 1 John 5:18. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, do not slander one another. If anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge a law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. He said, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I feel like I'm preaching the exact same message as last night. That's in James chapter 4. He said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. He said, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. He said, instead you ought to say if it is the Lord's will. In other words, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. You're surrendered to him. He said, instead you ought to say if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil, evil, evil. He says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it says, what is the good that you ought to do? You ought to fully surrender your heart to Jesus. Why? Because if you don't and you're making your own plans, he calls it boasting and bragging. That means pride, conceit is a boasting and bragging. He said, you're full of pride. You're not fully surrendered to God in your hearts. You're honoring him with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. You worship him in vain. We don't want to have that. We want to be fully surrendered to Jesus. I just believe that believing in Jesus is enough. The Bible says it's not. He said he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Hebrews 5:10. To those who obey him only. It's not to all those who believe in him. The Bible says this. You believe in one God, good. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without deeds is useless, he said. In other words, the devil believes in God. He's not saved. He says faith without deeds are corresponding actions. Your actions need to line up with the word to prove that you really love him. Full surrender. He said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm about to vomit you out. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He doesn't like it when people are half-hearted towards him. He's likened unto being our husband. We're like the bride. You could think of it as a marriage-type relationship. He wants a passionate relationship where people have an intimate fellowship with him. They're close to him. They spend a lot of time with God. But instead, like James said, he said, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? I'm not a friend of the world. Watch secular movies that have curse words, swear words in them when the Bible says to let no filthy language proceed out of your lips. He says, Jesus said, simple, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. He said, where words are many, sin is not absent, the Bible says. That means that when we're watching these movies that are full of filth and full of blasphemies against God and putting that in our spirits, David said, I'll set no evil thing before my eyes. Psalm 101:2. How can that be? Where Christians who claim to be devoted to their Lord, Jesus, they're devoted to the religion, can watch that filth. Even your Disney movies, your cartoons, your Family Guy, your Simpsons, your American Dad are full of just straight up blasphemies against Jesus, and you use that as entertainment. How can you call yourself a Christian? Forget about it. You're a friend of this world. You're an enemy of God. It's hatred towards Him. He expects His children to be holy. I don't believe that way, Pastor. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what we believe. It only matters what God has said. God says it, I believe it, and it's so. No, this is... God says it, and it's so, whether anybody believes it or not. This is not a democracy. So let's just fully obey God and get the sin out of our lives. If you struggle with sin, start the fast. Would you rather go to hell or would you rather suffer a little bit with fasting now? I'd rather suffer with the fasting. Peter said this, he said, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in His body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. You spend enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust. Carousing, detestable idolatry. Orgies. He said, they think it's strange. You do not plunge in the same flood of dissipation and the heat... with them, and they heap abuse on you, but they'll have to give account to Him who's ready to judge both the living and the dead. He's ready to judge. And He does not want to judge us on the negative end. He wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But the only way that we'll be able to receive that blessing is if we obey Him. We have to obey God. He's given us keys. These keys, we need to be using these keys every day. Fasting, that means going without food. He doesn't expect you to go on a 40-day fast unless He puts that on your heart. But He does expect you to be practicing fasting. There's many different ways to fast. He does expect you to be praying in tongues. He said, these signs will follow those who believe in My name. They will, not maybe, He said, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues, those that believe. So if you claim to believe and you don't speak in tongues, I would try to ask myself why that is. Because Jesus says those who believe do speak in tongues. That's what Jesus said. He's given us meditating His Word. He said to meditate His Word day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You have good success. Joshua 1:6 through 8. Psalm 1 and 1, He says almost the same thing. You'll be like a tree planted by the water, who grows fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Sounds good. You're planted by the rivers of the Holy Ghost because you're planted in His Word. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24, He said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a fool, a foolish man, who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And that's what a lot of people's end of their lives will be. You know, Jesus, when someone asked Him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Because His teaching was so strong, He figured, who's going to be saved? Jesus is always talking about heaven and hell in almost every one of His parables. I don't know how people don't realize that. He told us to make disciples just like Him. What those guys are, what a lot of these preachers are preaching today, what are they going to say when they stand before Him? I don't know. What are they going to say when they just tell you nice messages every week? He said this, are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus said, strive. That's what he said out of his mouth. That word means agonize with every force of effort. He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. That word narrow has an inclination that there's obstructions on both sides. There's pressure on both sides. In other words, it's going to take full effort to squeeze on through this narrow gate. It's not going to be an easy task. He says to strive with every fiber of your being to be saved is what he said. A lot of people are half-hearted about their religion. They don't take God seriously. They love Jesus as an idea. They love to add him to their lifestyle as some kind of benefit to them, something to benefit them. When this is not about us, this is not about what God can do for us. This is about what we can do with God to save humanity. He said to strive. He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will try to enter on that day and will not be able to. He said, the time's coming when the door will be shut and they will stand outside knocking and pleading and say, sir, sir, open the door for us. He said, I tell you the truth, I never knew you. They'll say, sir, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. In other words, we went to church. We had communion with you, Jesus. We were right there. I sat and listened to Pastor Dan's message. I heard what you said. We ate and drank with you, Jesus. He says, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. Workers of iniquity. That means they never departed with their sin. They sat in church. They even had communion. We ate and drank with you. They were close to him, but they never turned from their sin. They just tried to add Jesus to their lifestyle. It does not work. You cannot take these messages as if this is not serious. This is serious business. This is heaven or hell. Even for us Christians, we have to every day. This is not something, I don't like to have to talk like this. Don't like to have to do it, but I have to follow what the Holy Spirit's showing me. I live in a house of peace, a house of joy, a house that's full of God. My wife and I, our son will never have to worry about going to hell. Never even have to think about going to hell. And I can tell you why. Because we serve God with our whole hearts every day. It's not even a question of if we're going to do it. We just do it. Why? Because we made a choice. That's just you, Pastor Dan. You're called. No, you're called too. It's a choice. It's a choice. All it is a choice. You have to make the choice. It's too hard. No, it's not too hard. It is a choice. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. It's impossible. No, it's not. He said all things are possible with God. But you don't understand. I understand that you have to make the choice. I understand the bargain. I know what Satan presents you. He promises you many things. He promises you freedom. If you don't lock your bedroom door and spend your time, your free time with Jesus, he promises you you're going to be free, but you're not free. You're not free until you can get in that bedroom and lock the door and be alone with God. You're not free doing your own thing. You are bound by the devil and by this world system that's locked you in because you've subjected your heart continually to Satan's continual influences on your mind by watching that filth on television for years and years. It's so ingrained inside of you that it doesn't matter if Jesus himself preaches to you and tells you to stop watching it, you're still going to go home today and watch it. What is it in you? What kind of attraction is that? I can tell you what it is. It's demon possession. We need more Holy Ghost possessed Christians and less demon possessed and controlled Christians. Devil isn't have a hold on me. Go home and do the exact thing. Say, I told you not to do it. I told you go home, throw it all away. You're going to go home and watch it. I just seen someone the other day. They walk out of here and just a few minutes later, they're watching, they're looking at Facebook after I just got done preaching about how it's full of a bunch of gossip and filth. What kind of attraction is it? It's demonic attraction. It's Satan's empowerment to your flesh. He's empowering your flesh to do evil and your soul accustomed to it. He said this, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil." Jeremiah 13:23. He said, if people are so accustomed to doing evil, they just can't seem to break free and do good. But if you'll get on your knees, and like James said this, he said, "Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." In other words, I love Jesus and you're out here with one foot in the world. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. In other words, produce fruit worthy of repentance. The fruit worthy of repentance means you feel sorry for your sin. You're grieved over it. You recognize that it's not light. You stop thinking that it's funny what these people are telling you on these TV shows. It's full of adultery. It's full of sexual references. And people that are, you watch those shows or people having sex outside of marriage, you're one of them. It's in your heart. You cannot tolerate sin. The Bible says that His eyes are too pure to look upon evil. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Habakkuk 1:13. His eyes are too pure to even look on it. But Jesus, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, Pastor Dan, and he sees me in Jesus. No. He sees your heart, and when your heart is towards those abominations, you're one of them. We have to let go of it. What kind of attraction has such a hold on you that I preach this message week after week and you just won't let go of it? What is that? It's demonic. It's demonic. If I were to walk in your house, there's no question at times he opens my eyes to see in the spirit realm or perceive things. I would see, if you have that filth in your house and you still watch it, your children watch it, they got it on the computer, there's no doubt I would just see darkness in your house. You think Jesus lives in that? This generation has been taken control of by the whore of Babylon. It's a religious system. It's a religious system of adultery against God. They're adulterers. They got one foot in the world. We have to surrender fully to Jesus. Listen to me. I'm talking to you now. If you have secular movies that have swear words, cuss words, Disney movies that are full of witchcraft, magic, garbage, all that filth, get it out of your house. There's evil spirits connected with every one of them. If you have music with cuss words, swear words, if you even have music that is not worship music, throw it all away. It's all filth. But I like that song. Doesn't matter. It's all filth. I'm telling you the truth. All of it. Throw it all out. In fact, I would burn it. I wouldn't want anyone else to get... Is that scriptural? Yeah, they burned millions of dollars worth of scrolls in the book of Acts. Millions of dollars worth of scrolls. Why? Because the people feared God and they got serious about their relationship with God. They quit playing games with God. We're going to start talking on the millennium. Everybody here has been warned dozens of times. I'm safe. My blood, your blood is not on my hands. It's on your own. I don't want anybody to be judged outside of Christ or nearly as bad to be judged with all this failure that so many are going to have to face. If they even were saved, they just refuse to follow the call of God on their lives. It's a shame. Pastor Danny, you make me feel so guilty. No, the Holy Spirit's been sent for three things. To convict the world. Conviction, it's called. You make me feel condemned. I'm not condemning you. I am not condemning you. I believe that everybody that comes to this church and everyone listening online has a potential to go out and win the whole world for Jesus. Thousands of people, each one, could win thousands for Christ. Every one of you. I believe that about every one of you. I don't believe that you're here for just by chance. I believe you're here through much agonizing prayer. And God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. That's what I believe for you. But we have to get serious. Jesus is really coming. I need to see something. He said they went on eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And then the door, God sealed him in there. He shut the door and the flood came and destroyed them all. He said in the same way, he said, brothers, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. He said, but you brothers are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. We're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. He said, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. He said, God has not appointed us, real Christians, to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. That word salvation, if you break it down in the Greek, means deliverance. Deliverance, it means talking about the rapture. He's not appointed the church to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation or deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So we need to be prepared. Okay? Feels like a funeral in here, but the only person that's dying, I can assure you, is the old man. And we have to put him to death. He said, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. There's a lot of conviction involved in putting to death. A lot of humility, a lot of humbling yourself and realizing how messed up we really are. There's layers and layers and layers of flesh you're going to have to fight through to get to the place where he expects us to walk like Jesus. Especially in this generation where we've programmed ourselves with that garbage. Subliminal. And on top of all the garbage that they just blatantly portray to you, there's subliminal messages, satanic messages, and a lot of just your regular TV programs and your commercials. I was just showing Michelle the other day, there was one, just a cell phone commercial, had a 666 symbol right there. Popular company, right there where everybody could see. I said, I bet you, Michelle, that even the best of Christians will explain that away and say, that's not what that is. And that means he's got a hold of them too. They're part of his system. We have to get serious about our relationship with God.